From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message called Saluting Servants of the Gospel and Separating from Subverters, dealing with chapter 16. This, which is the final chapter of Romans, is often overlooked in the course of Bible reading by many. It appears to be nothing but a list of names that mean little or nothing to present-day Christians. Yet, as Dr. Cairns is showing, there are important lessons in Paul's closing comments to the Roman believers. The chapter reveals that there were a number of churches in that great city, providing a powerful testimony in the midst of a pagan society. The Roman believers came from all classes of society, from noblemen to slaves. Yet the churches were characterized by Christ-like love and unity. Paul takes time to express his gratitude to many who had helped him in the gospel ministry. Here's a reminder of the importance of using the gifts one has to serve Christ and to recognize what an honor it is to serve the King of Kings. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4. I will love them freely. This sentence is a body of divinity in miniature. He who understands its meaning is a theologian, and he who can dive into its fullness is a true master in Israel. It is a condensation of the glorious message of salvation which was delivered to us in Christ Jesus our Redeemer. The sense hinges upon the word freely. This is the glorious, the suitable, the divine way by which love streams from heaven to earth, a spontaneous love flowing forth to those who neither deserved it, purchased it, nor sought after it. It is indeed the only way in which God can love such as we are. The text is a death blow to all sorts of fitness. I will love them freely. Now, if there were any fitness necessary in us, then he would not love us freely. At least, this would be a mitigation and a drawback to the freeness of it. But it stands, I will love you freely. We complain, Lord, my heart is so hard. I will love you freely. But I do not feel my need of Christ as I could wish. I will not love you because you feel your need. I will love you freely. But I do not feel that softening of spirit which I could desire. Remember, the softening of spirit is not a condition, for there are no conditions. The covenant of grace has no conditionality whatever. So that we, without any fitness, may venture upon the promise of God which was made to us in Christ Jesus when he said, He that believeth on him is not condemned. It is blessed to know that the grace of God is free to us at all times, without preparation, without fitness, without money, and without price. I will love them freely. These words invite backsliders to return. Indeed, the text was specially written for such. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Backslider, surely the generosity of the promise will at once break your heart, and you will return and seek your injured father's face.
See.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
By the grace of God, to descend into the pit of relativism, whereby we say, well, there are methods to get more people. You go to most preacher studies nowadays, and you will find a list of books that tell you how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other thing, how to do the other thing. And very little in the deep things of God. This church was established for the purpose of preaching Christ and expounding to saints and sinners the fullness of the gospel of the Son of God. Now let me tell you, if you understand that gospel, that is going to help your marriage. And if you come to me needing help, that is what I will use to seek to help your marriage. But this pulpit will never become a marriage counseling platform using the techniques and the philosophies and the psychologies of the world with a Bible text added to make it respectable. It's never going to do that. This gospel will make you happy. I can't think of anything better calculated to make a person happy than to grasp with some degree of fullness the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this pulpit will never degenerate. At least I pray it will not, even long after I have gone to glory. I would pray like Spurgeon, if it ever did, that God would burn it to the ground. It will never degenerate into the folly of the people who say, for instance, take the Beatitudes and then the cute title given to one book on the subject, retitle them the Be Happy Attitudes. the be happy attitudes, so that the church exists to make you happy. Now, how to be happy? How to be this? How to be the other thing? No, no. The gospel is the answer to all those things. That's what Paul saw. And here are these people, ordinary people, and he expounded the gospel to them. Now, you'll be delighted to know I have never got near what I'm supposed to preach tonight. Haven't got to the body of the epistle at all. These are just some of the things that interest me as I come to get a picture of the church to which Paul was writing. What I want us to do tonight, and I will do it briefly, believe me. Of course, that's a relative term, is it not? I said to Dr. Barrett, as Dr. Gingery announced, the volunteer choir will now sing Day by Day. I said, that's going to be a long song if they sing Day by Day. Maybe they'll give up for tonight, but it's a relative term. But I will try to be somewhat brief. The apostle has just dealt at some length with the subject of his own ministry, chapter 15. Remember last week I showed you that in giving us that portion, he gives us the portrait of any true gospel ministry. And now he proceeds to take note of those who stood either with him or against him in that gospel. That's the common thread. You look at how Romans 16 is set up, and you'll see that the common thread is, are you a laborer with Paul or are you not? Those who are, those who aren't. Have a look at it. Verse 1 and 2, he commends Phoebe, who carried his epistle to the church in Rome. She was a co-laborer. Verse 3 to verse 16, he salutes his fellow laborers in Rome. Many of those had labored with him in the past in other places, and others he had heard of in his journeys. Verse 17 to 20, he warns against Satan-inspired intruders who were not servants, but subverters of the gospel. And then in the final four verses, 21 to 24, he gives the greetings from his fellow laborers or servants in Corinth. So the thread that joins this whole chapter, this section together, is very clear. It's the theme of saluting the servants of the gospel and separating from the subverters of the gospel. Saluting the servants of the gospel, separating from the subverters of the gospel. Now, before we get into any of the details, let me tell you, there is a clearly defined and well-intended distinction as to how we treat people as regards Christian fellowship and church fellowship. There are people we embrace and we salute. Why? Because whatever their nationality, Jew or Gentile, whatever their social status, slave or free, they are fellow laborers in the gospel. There are others, and whatever their position, they are subverters of that gospel. And our response to them must be not according to nationality, ethnicity, culture, social status. Our reaction to them must be according to their view of the gospel. So Paul is calling for saluting the one and separating from the other. I will be brief in dealing with saluting the servants of the gospel, for I have made enough introductory remarks to last us more than a little while. As I read this list, you know, it did strike me that the Lord knows all his servants, and he knows them by name. Here we have 26 names. Almost all of them are utterly and totally unknown to us. Over almost every name, not quite every name, but almost over every name here, you could say, What do I know about this person other than the little sentence that's attached to the name here? Nothing. Had the Holy Ghost not inspired Paul to maintain this record of these names, history would never have been aware that they even existed. They came, they went, and the world took no notice. But the Lord did. And He knows His servants by name. That's a very serious thought. It's a very encouraging thought to me. But it's a very serious thought. You may live and die, and as far as the world's concerned, you amount to nothing. I suspect that's going to be true of most of us. Maybe when Ryan and Bevan and the girls get the new CD out, they'll break the mold and you'll become famous. But for the most of us, we'll not. But what does it matter? Most of us, you see, face a choice. Whether you're going to live for the applause of the world, which, by the way, is so passing, so transient, as to be worthless. Or are you going to say, I don't care what the world thinks or says, I am going to live that God Almighty will say, that is my servant. Do you remember he was able to challenge Satan about Job? In effect, have you seen my servant Job? My servant. What a testimony. There is nothing better in this world. The Lord knows His servants by name. And if you're in this church tonight and you are honestly seeking to be one of those who help in the work, and you're laboring much in the work, you're putting all you have and can into the work, and you're seeking to reach souls for Christ, and you're seeking to be faithful in prayer, you're giving of all you are and have for the furtherance of the work of God, and it appears at times that people take no notice of you whatsoever, well then rejoice and be glad that the Lord is not unmindful of any man's labor of love. Having said that, that's no reason why I, as a minister, should be unaware or careless about acknowledging the labors that men and women put into the work of God. I find from Paul here that every minister should be constantly aware of his indebtedness to the men and women without whose support he would have no ministry. You realize what Paul is saying here. He says, these are my fellow laborers. In other words, I could never have done it alone. We tend to make Paul such a gigantic figure. And of course he was. Not physically, but as far as his impact in the work of God, a gigantic figure. And yet here, this greatest of all missionaries and ministers, preachers, evangelists, church planters, theologians, this greatest among the apostles, this most laborious among the servants of Christ. And he's saying, I couldn't do it all alone. I have these people and these people and these people and these people, and they have labored with me to put everything into the work of God. I suppose every preacher makes mistakes here, and I would be, I suppose, the last who could claim not to make the mistake. The mistake of taking people for granted. But I can tell you honestly before God, many a time when Joan and I bow together in our own home to pray, We thank God not only for saving us, not only for giving us a place to minister, but a people who stand with us in the gospel. And I thank God on every remembrance of you and your labor of love in the Savior. Because without you and your labors in prayer and in every other way, without you, I have no ministry. Without you, these pews will make no response, no matter how brilliantly I could preach. And that's a stretch of the imagination, I know. But the pews could make no response, even if Paul were preaching to them. Let me turn that around a little. Every Christian should recognize what a great honor it is to be able to help in any way in the work that God is doing through the church and the men that He has placed in the church as His ministers. Not everybody could be a Paul, but everybody could help the Paul that God had sent there. And what an honor to be listed as a fellow laborer of Paul's. You and I have the honor of being workers together with the very Spirit of God. God is doing a work. If I didn't believe God was doing a work in the Free Church, I would not waste whatever I have left of life in trying to do anything. If I didn't believe that God was in this work, why would I want to be in it? But God is in it. He has promised to be in it. He has given His guarantee as to what He'll do. What an honor then for you and me to be in the work and helping, laboring much, giving of all we are and have to the service of this living Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.